Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerd Talk, yeah! Hi, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, and he used to work here, now he don't. We don't even pay him to do this. He's Brandon from the internet.
Gosh, nobody's paying me to do anything these days. It's actually a problem.
Yeah, like, sell a house already, Brandon.
Seriously. Freaking economy.
That stupid interest rates. Look at that.
Look at us being adults.
I don't know what that means, to be honest. I understand like the concept of interest, but I don't understand how any of this works. That's why neither of us is a scientist, engineer, accountant, or supervillain. But if you are, let us know what we get right, or maybe even what we get wrong. You can do so in a number of different ways. You could write a review on Apple Podcasts. You could tweet at Brandon MG or at Hey Gregor, or you could just scream it into the void. And we now have a void listening station, so we should be able to pick that up. That's really nice. Yeah. You started to write a question of the week, Brandon, but this episode's question of the week. I have something else. Is peanut butter
a sandwich?
A liquid, a gel, or an aerosol? Next on Nerd Talk Plus.
Wow.
It's a good one, right?
Aerosol?
Because it's none.
None
of those.
Yeah. Gosh. My question of the week was going to be this. Do you remember that time that we talked about what video games we were good at?
Yeah.
And my answer at the time, I think, was the only one that I actually ever played was FIFA.
Yeah.
And then for my birthday, which is coming up, my wife, she got me something and she like could not wait. She had to give it to me early, right? So she gave it to me a month and a half early. Because she got me an Xbox. She got me one of the brand new Xboxes, which are like very difficult to come by, I suppose. And so she was like, I got it now because I had to. And so anyway, she gives it to me and I download the Xbox Game Pass, which allows you to download like a bunch of games, not for free because you're paying a subscription service, right? But like you can play a bunch of games without buying the games and titles, and you can download them and undownload them, whatever, right? So anyway, I got this Xbox and I've downloaded a few games, and the question of the week was, which video game are you good at? And I can now definitively say none of them.
Definitely not Formula One.
Definitely not Formula One. Definitely not FIFA. Definitely not MLB The Show. Definitely not Ghost Recon Wildlands. Definitely not Just Cause 4.
Get the Star Wars game.
I downloaded the Jedi Fallen Order. I know that the new one is called Jedi Survivor. Was it Survivor?
Yeah, Survivor. Yeah.
Survivor, right? I haven't played that one yet. That one's not on Game Pass and I'm cheap.
Well, it's also not out yet, so that's
Cool. No, Fallen Order's great. That's an amazing game. I'm bad at it. Don't get me wrong. I'm very bad at it. But it's fun. And the other game that I got, which I've really been enjoying, is Star Wars Battlefront 2, which is
current.
Yeah, exactly. The new Battlefront 2, the the new one that EA made that is everybody loves and hates. But sure. I'm also bad at that. I played with my brother Steven, who and we played online, and I think I got 3 kills, and I think 2 of the people I killed were AFK. So anyway, things are going great over here. Being bad at video games. So,
all right.
Yeah.
I've been pretty dedicated to the Rubik's Cube. I'm trying to get that. You know, I'm trying to get top 69,000.
Right.
And there's a competition I'm trying to get into in April in Kent, Washington. And
yeah.
So I've been really practicing. It is not going well.
Oh, so. Okay. So shout outs to us for both being bad at the thing that we're investing time in.
Yeah, not our families. Terrible
yeah,
at
not
that.
Our family. Yeah, bad at that already.
So. Yeah, nothing to prove there.
Already given up on that.
I'm not even top 69,000th in my family of 3. So, of 2 parents.
You are top 420,000th, right?
Yeah, for
okay,
sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank goodness.
And that's American, because if it was Canadian, the math wouldn't work out. Follow our other podcast that never airs,
yeah.
Full 90 Soccer Time, to understand what that even means.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're both on time constraints today, so let's jump right in, huh? This is terrifying. Never going swimming again. Flesh-eating bacteria could be coming to a city near you.
Sounds like you're talking about monster trucks. I was called the Manster trucks.
John Manley trucks?
John Manster trucks.
Just going to start rubbing butter on myself now. Give them something tasty to eat. I feel like the more prepared I am for flesh-eating bacteria, the less they're going to get me.
I thought we were talking about rubbing butter on yourself to give John Manley something to eat.
Well, just going to let everyone's imagination run away with that one. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and mark that. All right. There we are. Yeah, it's usually contained the flesh-eating bacteria in the warmer waters down in like the Gulf of Mexico and whatnot. But another thing to add to the list of bad things happening as we alter the planet for our adventures and wares and our Xboxes or whatever. Now the waters nearer to us are still colder, so we're not going to see it for a while. But it's moving its way up, specifically the East Coast, so the other side of the continent as well. But I feel like it's on its way. But we have a little bit more time. Once again, the upper left part of the continent doing great.
So tell me, is this like one of those situations where you go in the water and the bacteria gets on you and starts eating your flesh and turns you into a walking water zombie? Or
sort of, except for the cool part about the zombie.
Oh, bummer.
It's you get it one of two ways. One from eating contaminated raw seafood. So I'm guessing seals are covered in this crap. But if you eat, it's like you can still eat sushi. You just don't eat random, fish you find on the shore, I guess, probably.
Dude, I have a story about that. There's a disease that you can get called vibriosis, which is basically like the people most frequently get it from eating bad oysters. And I have a buddy, and I will name him. His name is Jimmy Creek, and he's dumb. Because he was walking down the shore and he was like, an oyster. This is cool. This is like eating a fresh oyster. And then he ate this oyster that had been sitting out on the beach in Oregon for like in the sun, in the middle of the day, and ended up just like crapping and puking his brains out for the next few days. So,
more like Jimmy Creep. What are you doing?
Yeah, Jimmy Crap.
Jeez. As you said that, I had a friend growing up called Jimmy Creed. And I was like, oh no. Where is this going?
Were his arms wide open?
It's the name of the flesh-eating bacteria. This actually
Jimmy
plays
Creek.
Right in. Vibrio vulnificus. So vibriosis sounds like it is part of that Latin that I don't...
Yeah, it must be like... Oh, I wonder if that's like a similar bacteria or something.
He was
like
eating
that,
a vibraphone, and it was.
That's so you're saying that if I eat sushi normally, that
fine.
It's probably fine. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't guarantee it because you could always, you can get bad food anywhere. But
yeah.
I'm not trying to single-handedly sink the sushi.
The
industry,
sushi industry.
That's for sure.
Yeah. No. Okay. So question, because I know that.
There's another way to get it, by the way. Don't let me forget.
Oh, yeah. Is it through your wiener?
I mean, potentially. I don't think that's out of the question.
Well, I'm just curious, like, if you get this bacteria disease thing, I mean, it's a bacteria, so it's little tiny organisms, and they're eating your flesh. Is it, like, an external thing? Because if you eat it, that's going to be on the inside, so they're eating you from the inside. That sounds terrible.
That does sound terrible.
I guess the question is like, is this like...
Question of the week!
Question of the week is, does it kill you, or does it just give you diarrhea?
Well, the other way that you can get it is if you have a wound and you're in the stagnant, warmer water where it lives, it gets in and then starts destroying your tissues. So,
kind of like staph infection, kind of.
The mortality rates are almost 1 in 5.
Holy crap.
18%. Some people die within 48 hours of exposure. I'm guessing that those are the ones that get it in the insides rather than on the...
So does it just eat? Like, what? Like, what's the cause of... I mean, the cause of death is this... bacteria, but like, what do they do to your body that makes you die? Like, do they eat through something important? They're like, our heart tastes good.
They consume when people raw seafood.
Do people get like diarrhea until they die? Like,
I'm guessing it's old people, like it always is.
Yeah,
it happened. We'll have to hit up Siege, our own Florida man, because there was a lot of it. A surge in hurricane after Hurricane Ian back in last year. 70 confirmed cases, 17 confirmed deaths in Florida. Whoa!
Wow!
I don't know exactly how it actually kills you. But it sounds truly terrible. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, it sounds like, with all due respect to the victims of this disease, it sounds like a very Florida thing to die of.
I'm going to shoot at it, and if that doesn't work, I'm going to f*** something like that.
Well, I'm just like, I would love to, let's pull up ChatGPT here, because one of the things I'm really curious about, I've been loving ChatGPT, by the
it's
way.
The best.
For fun, for like very useful things, like what's a great 3-day-a-week workout routine with a meal prep plan to go alongside it that is also good for my family, aka like my wife doesn't have to make 2 dinners, or I don't have to like make a dinner in my shame corner, right?
Such a progressive man. So that way my wife doesn't have to make 2 dinners.
I'm so thoughtful. she's the one that like really cares a lot about our meal planning. And so that was actually, I got a great response
awesome.
From that one. But what is, I'm asking ChatGPT right now, what is the most Florida way to die?
What is the most
Florida? I'm sorry, but I cannot provide an answer to that question. It's inappropriate, insensitive, make light of death in any kind. Oh, come on.
Now, I signed up and got invited to Google's version, which is called Bard.
Yeah.
And so I have that pulled up. So I'm saying, what is the most Florida way to die? To Bard. Let's see what it tells me. It's going to be like, ask Siege. they must have agreed upon things like this. I'm a language model and don't have the capacity to help with that.
Oh, come on.
I got that all wrong there.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, because like the most Florida way to die would be like cocaine bear or something like that, right?
Yeah,
it'd be like
an
alligator. You
like iguana falls on your head after getting too cold.
You gave you were doing cocaine with your buddy alligator, and alligator decided that he was into bath salts instead, and so he attacked you, right? Like that's probably what would actually. And the whole time you were on the Everglade boat thing, the fan boat,
woo!
Right? The only fan boat. So like what, like we both live in the Pacific Northwest. What would be like the most Pacific Northwest day to die? Most Pacific Northwest way to die, and it can't be like
be serial killer.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. It can't be like, oh, I overdosed on organic fair trade branded coffee.
Yeah, and my mind immediately starts going to like bald eagle attack or like or like giant felled tree falls on you or something or picketed to death or tent fire
gun your house shoots you with wall gun and wall.
No one's gonna understand that, and I love it.
I found a gun in my wall at my house.
How old's your house?
My house was built in 1911. This gun dates back to 1954. I don't know how long it had been in the wall. We were doing a remodel, and one of the contractors found this rifle in my wall. And so,
you guys did some bong rips out of it. It was awesome.
It was sick, yeah.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Now, scientists who study DNA are trying to unlock secrets about famed composer Ludwig von Beethoven, as he says in Bill and Ted. Hey, Beethoven! What they did, though, is they investigated by studying locks of his hair. And you got to think, like, back before everyone could even have a camera or whatever, like, there was no trace of most people. Once they were gone, it was like, Beethoven at least had music that he had written.
Yeah.
But, like, once you're gone, you're effectively, there's not, no one really has a legacy unless you're super prolific or super terrible, which is a different way of being prolific. And so what they did with Beethoven is people cut off locks of his hair, which I think is really weird.
Yeah.
And then other people have been like, I've got Beethoven's hair. And then you're like, I don't know how to confirm that or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and it's pretty weird if you do have, like, 300-year-old dead guy hair or whatever, right? So it was once speculated that the Death by Death Maestro had died of lead poisoning. And it turns out that wasn't the case. They got all these samples, probably like eight or so, I think is what they said. And the most famous of them was by his disciple, whatever the word is for that, his apprentice.
Apprentice, yeah.
Said that he had one, but then when they did the DNA sampling on it, it was from a Ashkenazi Jewish woman, something that, okay, to our knowledge, Beethoven was not. and the apprentice had married that type of person, and so they think that like either he lost it or he was lying, and so he just took a clip of a curl of a lock from his wife's hair and showed that off as if it was the authentic thing, because back then that was like, there's no way of possibly proving that. But then a bunch of the other samples, and you can read all about it at the New York Times or even Cairo7.com where I found it, but that like five of the samples were identical with the DNA, and so they think, okay, this is like the actual Beethoven hair. How weird to go back and test for drugs like that, though.
Turns out Beethoven cannot work at Safeway. Dude smoked way too much weed.
He could not work at AOL in the late 1990s.
Yeah. I always think it is funny, like the people that get drug tested and told that they can't work at certain places, it's like, you would expect everybody who wants to work here to be smoking weed.
Yeah. Like, is this an insurance thing? Or, like, yeah, what's going on?
It has
here?
To be, right? Like, that. So, my question is, what are we going to do with this information? Like, are we going to. Yeah. Like, what do we do with this Beethoven DNA?
Well, two things, Brandon. One, they've disproved that he died of lead poisoning, and that's led to his deafness or whatever. They disproved that he might have been black, which is the thing that some people were saying also, and that would have been awesome, I think. But but the other thing is that researchers have combined his genetics with amphibian DNA to revive the composer for their neoclassical park.
Jurassical Park.
So there you go. And so the downside, of course, is that he'll be able to reproduce asexually. Yeah, but
it's a bummer that he's not an Ashkenazi Jewish woman, because that was the whole point when they brought back the dinosaurs, is that they wouldn't be able to reproduce because they were all female. Well, it turns out
Beethoven's humping himself.
Beethoven.
So yeah. Anyway. I don't know like how people got to that, but I think it was fascinating that we're going back and studying things like that. We do it all the time with like mummies and stuff, right? Like they find some pharaoh's remains and they go and try and figure out more. It was probably 5'9". Yeah, that's right. Like, okay, cool. So, okay, yeah. Well, I want to jump back to the question of the week. Wait, you got something?
No.
Let's jump back to the question of the week. Question of the week.
Is Beethoven a liquid, a gel, an aerosol?
Is peanut butter a liquid, gel, or aerosol? Well, it's not a big change for the TSA. This isn't like a new thing, but like finally they, you know, spoke out about it somewhere. I guess it's been part of the rules for a minute, but peanut butter is a liquid, says the official Twitter account of the TSA. It's their stance for a while, but I guess a podcaster called Patrick Neve, he tweeted this on of his own experience, saying, I tried to take peanut butter through airport security. TSA, sorry, no liquids, gels, or aerosols. Patrick, I want you to tell me which of those things you think peanut butter is. TSA, liquid. The same people you're trusting to stop your terrorists are calling. Sorry, like I didn't get that right, but they say it's a liquid. And I'm like, the same people you're trusting to stop your terrorists are calling what is obviously a paste a liquid. Are the ones that are, you know, they're the ones that are going to keep us safe in the end. What would you, if you had to qualify peanut, basically they don't want you to take peanut butter on an airplane because it might be a bomb.
Yeah. They've had dirty bombs. They've had shoe bombs. It's a crunchy bomb.
Yeah. No, smooth.
Creamy bomb. That sounds
I guess you
gross.
Could like make like plastic explosives. You could mix it into some peanut butter.
Yeah. Okay. What would you call like if you were if somebody was holding a creamy bomb up against you and said, you have to tell me what texture or what physical state you think this is in, what would you say? Is a peanut butter a liquid, a gel? Or a liquid or a solid, I guess, is really the question.
Well, it's definitely not an aerosol.
And if, well, if we could come up with spray-on peanut butter, though, I am in.
I also want it to be like a, I want it to be a sunblock also.
You ever seen that peanut butter baby?
No.
Oh, I'll have to send you peanut butter baby. It's very funny. It was a funny thing on the internet. Can I tell you about a snack?
Sure.
Yeah. Have you had a Bomba? Maybe that's what they're worried about, is that peanut butter Bombas, dude. Have you?
It
you
sounds
have,
familiar. Wait, hold on. Go on.
Yeah, okay. So a Bomba is this like, it's best described as a peanut butter Cheeto, is the only way I can describe it. There's no cheese.
Spell it.
There's no, B-A-M-B-A. There's no cheese in it, but it's like a cheese puff. Texture, right? It's like a puffed up. I don't know if it's like corn.
Oh, it has a peanut butter baby on the bag.
Oh, does it have peanut butter baby on the bag? They're great. They're a great like snack for kids who aren't allergic to the stuff.
Oh, you mean like my kid? Okay, great.
Yeah, and they are delicious. I mean, it's like eating. It's like eating. It's one of those things where it does feel like they took the texture of a cheese puff, don't have any of the cheese on it, and then they sprayed it with a peanut butter aerosol. And it
is delicious. Here's an Asian version that puts hazelnut inside.
Ooh, that's terrible.
Wait, hazelnut?
Yeah, I'm not like a, what's the thing that everybody likes? Nutella? Yeah, not me.
I've never had Nutella. I've never.
Oh, I think you would like it because I think it's hazelnut.
Yeah. Wow, there's a lot of different variations of it. Trader Joe's has them.
Yeah, the Trader Joe's one is how I was first exposed to. That was my gateway Bomba, and I do think it's one of the best Bombas I've had.
So. A Bomba isn't like a brand. It's a style of
thing. It's the style of I don't. So here's another question. So is peanut butter, we've gotten to the bottom of whether or not peanut butter is an aerosol or a solid. Oh, maybe we haven't gotten to the bottom of that.
No, we haven't. That's okay.
But is a cheese puff a solid or a gas? Is a Bomba a cracker? Like, is a cheese puff a cracker? Is it a chip? Is it a...
It's Israeli, first of all. Bomba, yeah. Or the Hebrew word, which I can't pronounce because I don't speak Hebrew, is a snack, or read Hebrew, is a snack made of peanut butter-flavored puffed maize, which is corn, manufactured by the Osem Corporation in Kiryat Gat, Israel.
So would you call a cheese puff a, like, obvious, it's a solid. I won't refute.
It has its own.
So it's
state.
A puff? Like, would you call it a puff? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Like, if I said, like... You want a champagne puff? You'd be like, I could figure out what that is.
Yeah, okay.
Or like a motor oil puff? You'd be like, that doesn't sound right, but I understand what you're getting at.
Give me the peanut butter puff.
Yeah. It's definitely like a, you know, it's probably not recognized by science as a state that stuff comes in or
state
whatever.
Of matter.
But, yeah, like idiots. But dude, okay.
Peanut butter. Yeah. So I don't know if you ever get like natural peanut butter, but like it comes all separated. The peanut.
Yeah.
Part of it comes very separated from the peanut oil that is extracted or comes out of the peanut. It is really annoying. I found a trick recently to get that mixed up before you ever open it. Because if you ever have to like hand stir or hand mix the, you just turn it upside down. Let it sit upside down in your cabinet for a couple of days. And when you open it up, it's all basically mixed up together. The blog I read that was some mom who was talking about all of these tricks of how to mix
all of
up.
This is implied. I understand.
Yeah. Talking after telling me her life story, where I just wanted to read the freaking recipe, I got down to the bottom and it was like, here's the five different ways in ranked in order of effectiveness and use. And she was like, yeah, one of the most effective ways was just putting it in a blender and mixing it all up. I'm like, you just replaced a mess with another mess.
You've created a bigger mess. I have two messy things. And you get the paint shaker out and that would probably be the best way to do it, actually.
Yeah. And then you get aerosol peanut.
Just go to Lowe's. You're like, hi. Can you please
mix this for me?
Yeah, no problem. That's a way to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So the TSA calls it a liquid, and you're not allowed to bring more than 3.4 ounces on board. And like this is all because that guy wore the shoe bomb, which was a thing that wouldn't have worked anyway. Now we all have to act like total idiots for 20 years. Now we've had to do this.
Yeah.
I don't think it's stopped literally anybody. I think that there's a lot of argument that none of that TSA stuff does anything except for make the airport experience more miserable. But also, like, the guy who does bring in, like, a, you know, 3.5 ounces of nitroglycerin or whatever, like, okay, I get it. Like, you don't want that to happen. But we'll put it in the luggage compartment instead with my remote that's on my phone or whatever. Like,
I feel like the ultimate terrorism, short of killing a bunch of people, would be for somebody to like the guy who wore the shoe bomb. Now everybody has to take their shoes off at the airport and it's a total inconvenience, right?
Yeah.
Like could somebody just, like, I'm just trying to think, like, what would be an inconvenient thing to have to do while waiting in line at airport security?
Yeah, make a bomb out of underwear.
yeah. You have to, everybody that, like, this one guy, he was going to do a terrorism, but he messed up the hokey pokey when he was going through the metal detector. And so now only the people who know how to do the hokey pokey can go through the metal detector. So you have to, every time you go through it, so, like, and everybody would be like, oh, shit. Like, we have to do the hokey pokey every time we go through. And that guy, maybe he didn't kill anybody, but a lot of people are going to be very, very upset for a long time.
Yeah. And other countries don't go through the same asinine stuff as us, right?
No.
Like, it's...
Like, they definitely, like, they all have stepped up security.
Sure.
In a lot of ways. But I do remember, like, when I was flying abroad a few years ago, it wasn't near... Like, I think the only time I got stuck in a long line is because somebody had a passport issue in front of me, and it wasn't like a...
Yeah, the customs is where the problem is. When we were in Japan, like, I felt so dumb because when you go to the gates, there's nothing. There's, like, maybe a McDonald's and that's it.
Yeah.
But when you're outside of the gates, before you go through security, it's... there's, like, it's like the craziest Kit Kat shopping mall ever. There's, like, a million different awesome weird Japanese stores, all the food, sushi, everything. But as soon as you go through security, it's like, well, welcome to hell. And I'm like, as we were getting on the plane and I was hungry and grumpy or whatever, I was like, could I have just, like, gone? Would they let me go back through? And because, you know, in America, that's obviously you're wearing an underwear bomb and you're gonna die if you would dare to go through the thing again or whatever. No, that's not true. You can actually go through again and come back, but it's like the process for doing it is such a pain. Could I have just gone back? And I was just too, you know, I wasn't going to try and explain what I wanted to a non-English speaking Japanese person with my literal 10 words of Japanese I learned. So,
dude, can I tell you the worst? When I was in Japan, very briefly, we were trying to do was find a train. And I don't know if I ever told you this story. And obviously, it's, like, very difficult to communicate with other people who, if you don't speak their language, they don't speak your language, and what you're trying to communicate, you know, is difficult. And I was just trying to figure out, like, look, here's our hotel. We're trying to get a train from this train station that we're at to this hotel. What train do we take? I'm, like, showing them my phone, just where I'm trying to go. What train? Tell me where to go. And
it's in English script. It's in, you know, Western alphabet. It's not in the...
So I got four different people pointing me in four different directions. And eventually we just took a train until we got off at the spot that this person told us to get off. And we were in the middle of nowhere. And the train stopped running. And so what we did was there was a convenience store right next to where we had gotten off the train. And so we walked in and we asked the... convenience store person, like, who they were also closing, and we were just like, please, can we just call a taxi, like, we were just cab, like, something, right? Like, looking it up in Japanese on our phones, and of course we have no service. And so he lets us use their phone. We call a cab. We just say, like, the address of, we had the guy that owns a convenience store talk to the guy, say, like, come rob these people, right?
Not in Japan.
No, not in Japan. No, but this guy shows up, and I swear he was like, have you seen the movie? I'm going to assume no. Baby Driver?
I've seen that one.
Oh, okay. He shows up in a, like, Baby Driver car with driving gloves on, gets out, throws all of our luggage in the back, and then I swear to you, like, rally cars, back roads, like, all the way to our hotel. It was... He was driving so fast down one lane roads that were definitely two way roads. You know what I mean? And, like, through these wheat fields, I'm assuming, or, like, I don't know what they were. And
rice, probably.
Yeah, maybe. And he was just, like, flying, and it was incredible and terrifying. I felt like I should have been in the passenger seat, like 45 degree left coming up in 30 meters. Like, it was insane and so fun and so terrifying at the same time. And it's all because I couldn't get directions from a guy in Japan.
I had the exact opposite experience there. I was like, our train to the train guy. And it was like, he was like, that in Japanese, he was like, that train left.
Yeah.
And we're like, what? And he like points at the train, the next one. He points to four. And I was like, I look at the train, it says number four on the side. And he goes, go. In Japanese, whatever that word is. And we were like, okay. We just like ran and got out on this train. There's 95,000 other people all squashed together.
Yeah.
And then 2.5 hours later, we were in Nagoya.
Oh,
so cool.
Yeah.
It just worked out, I guess. But we got the mobile hotspot thing.
Oh, smart.
And because we were going to be there for 10 days, you know, like we just got, and this is before you could just easily get a SIM card and drop it into your iPhone or whatever.
That's what we ended up doing in Thailand, I think, when we got there.
Yeah, you just drop that in, and then you could like call, it's really good. The Google Maps and stuff is awesome. It knows the Japanese rail system. So like, we were just like, okay.
Yeah.
I got to the point where in Japan, like, I didn't have to switch over to English letters or to Western letters. I could just do all the stuff on the, in Japanese on it or whatever, because it was like,
it's just like muscle memory kind of.
Yeah. And like, but also like, I also could remember what the like visual muscle memory.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, that's the sign for exit. And this is the sign for Shinagawa. Yeah. And like, and so I could like boop, 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 or whatever. We got to the point where we could like really work the rail system, cause it's so easy. Japan is the freaking coolest.
It was so cool. We were only there for 24 hours. And 1 hour of that was a rally car ride through Japanese backcountry.
Worth it.
It was amazing, though.
Okay, one final thing before we go. It's, of course, AI related. I just realized that we need to do a segment that's like This Week in AI, because it's every week. Levi's will soon start supplementing, this is what they say, supplementing their paid clothing models with ones generated by AI. And that feels incredibly inevitable. It's also very sad. But the thing that gets me, and you can read about it, I think it's in Gadget.com. The thing that gets me is that they're framing it in the name of diversity. And they're like, with AI-generated models, a bigger range of people will be represented. And like, come on, dude. We're not stupid. Just tell us you're doing it to save money. Don't pretend like you can't find human. There are no good-looking whatever race. Like, there's only good, attractive, skinny whites and some brown. And that's all we're going to go with. Like,
we couldn't find an attractive Japanese model, so we're going to have the AI create one for us.
Now, if it is indeed that they're going after that, like, you know, four-legged, two-armed Geonosians from Attack of the Clones, or, you know, some sort of squid people with tentacle legs from a chasm filled with ice cold water from deep down below. Okay,
this is like, what jeans would look like on Jar Jar Binks.
Okay, I get it. That's great. And to your point, since I doubt they'll use models that actually look like, you know, most of us, which is in my case a little soft and obviously imperfect, this type of AI could be better served showing what the clothes would actually look like on my body. Like, if you're gonna steal all my data anyway, like, help me understand what that shirt looks like on my weird chest. That's, you know, so that way how it hangs down.
That's pretty great. So, like,
if it was Jar Jar Binks.
I started out with being pretty upset about this, but now that you're saying it, it does feel like the natural progression for online shopping. Where, you know, we went from like Warby Parker, right, was the online glasses retailer where you could go and say, here's the five glasses that I like, and they would ship them to you. You could try them on at home, see if you actually like them, then ship them back.
Yeah.
And then that moved to like virtual try on, where you could, use augmented reality and show you what the glasses would look like actually positioned on your face. And you could turn.
Yeah, just like TikTok or Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, like a filter, right? And so you could look left, you could look right, kind of see how they looked from all these different angles. And now it could actually just be like, hey, we're going to take a quick scan of your face and put your dimensions or whatever it is, right? Like on Levi's, you could say like, I am a 5'10", 175-pound little boy. And when you enter that, that's how I feel. You enter that info in there, and then it takes with your webcam, a little shot of your face, and then it shows you exactly what an outfit would look like on your specific body. Not just like a body similar to yours, but your body, your actual body. Levi's is like, hey, I got to take a scan of your naked body. Show me what you look like under there.
Show me your dong.
Yeah. This is what these jeans would look like on your dong. Still tiny.
Don't worry, you can still wear the extremely tight ones.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it's just the notion that, and I think Amazon does this a little bit, but not to much success. But like, there's a tattoo artist that I follow, and he has you come in, and he gets out the 3D scanner like you would for your teeth to get braces or whatever, and he scans your body so that way he can put a tattoo on your body and adjust it and show you what it would look like.
That's so rad.
Because we're not flat, and so like if you're, you know, around an arm or whatever, around your shoulder, as the where the shoulder joint is, that ball and socket, like it can show you how that would change the look of it. Or if you want something geometric, how it changes when you put it onto a not flat surface. And like, to me, that's a really cool future where maybe, and maybe like there's a Warby Parker store or whatever, you know, but maybe you end up going to the scan, you know, the scan mart or whatever, and you get your body scanned, and then you go home and then you can shop online or whatever.
I think there will be a thing. I mean, you already see it with like the 360 camera things at people's weddings and events and things like that, where you go stand in the middle of it and it cycles the camera around you, and it takes a really cool like little GIF video.
I think it'll be sonic, actually. I think it'll be like a sonar or something like that. Where so that's how they get these cameras to focus and stuff, is with a sound beam. And that's why my dog hates when I take her picture. But like, two dogs in a row that have been like so mad about that. But
that's really interesting.
Like, yeah, it's weird, right? And so in order to get a really close without it having to have the same type of sensor quality in a camera or the adjustments, like, yeah, you could, or you could really have, like, I like this shirt, and they're like, yeah, yeah, we'll send you the one that's custom made to your body.
Well, that's like the next level, right? Is like, not only this is how these jeans look on you, but this is exactly how we will alter them before they ever get to you, so that they fit exactly how you want them to. As long as you don't gain any weight or lose any weight, they will fit perfectly, right? Which is crazy, because like, instead of, I mean, we're still talking mass production, we're still talking unethical production, right? For the most part, I can't, I'm not talking specifically about Levi's, right?
Yeah, but of course
If you're like, this is the size of my feet, or this is blah blah blah, right? And then it'll say, okay, we will custom make those shoes. We still have to, because people have gotten used to it, so we'll still have to commit to 2-day shipping or whatever it is. And so we'll just have to rush how fast we make this person who's getting paid no money to make these shoes, right?
Well, it'll be a robot.
Well, yeah, eventually that's like, ideally, really, at that point, unfortunately. I was just thinking, maybe you won't even have to go anywhere. Like, think as virtual reality goggles and headsets get more and more popular, right? The way that works is you put up a camera or a couple of cameras, depending on how accurate you want them to be, up in the corners or on the walls of your room. And what those help you with is positional awareness and spatial awareness, and kind of give you an idea of the space around you, and it can actually position you in that room. Down the road, what if that can take think about the fact that you can already start measuring stuff from your phone, right? Like, you can open it up and like, using augmented reality, like, start at this point, scan it over, look at this point, and that's how far it is, right? And it's usually pretty accurate.
Yeah. I mean, close enough, better than I can do by measuring and drawing.
Like, I'm not going to use it to measure something that I'm, you know, I need to be perfectly the exact length that I need it. But if I'm like, will this 10-foot thing fit in this room, right?
Yeah. Does this rug fit here? Yes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, as long as the margin of error is a few inches, right? Like, it gives me the what I need, you know? I mean, like, if virtual reality catches on, which I think it's still struggling to do, but like, if virtual reality becomes more of a cultural norm, and we start to have these little cameras, or just any cameras up inside of our houses in the future, like, Levi's might not even have to ask you how big you are, because it's going to be like, hey, we use your Google data to tell you from your Google Home or your Amazon Alexa or whatever it might be. We know exactly how big you are, what style you're going to like. Let us send you a picture of you in an outfit that you've never worn and see if you like it, and you will.
It's the TikTok of social medias for clothing, where it's just like, this is what you're into. We've been paying attention, and like, hey, check this shirt out. We think you're going to like it. And you're like, oh, I do kind of like
it. We also know how much money's in your bank account, so we know you can afford it. Buy it.
Yeah, it's... one final thought that is unrelated. I want to be very clear also with Levi's. I just think it's weak that from a PR perspective that you try and say it's for diversity when it's obviously,
I mean, if they had
just
come
like
at it with this like personalization,
I'd still be like, gross,
oriented,
but
I'd be like, oh, that's creepy, data privacy, whatever, but it makes sense.
But everyone's gonna do it, and so it's like, I don't like way to be the ones out in front or whatever, I guess. But the simulation thing, we're just saying, hear me out. Like, I'm more like, I feel like my life is falling apart around me. And it's just like, feels eerie, and things happen around me where, you know, this is just very, it's very easy. This is how people get wrapped up in conspiracies. But like, as things happen and you meet people who like say the right things to entertain you or to make you frustrated or whatever, you're like, this is too conveniently hits the right buttons for me or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was at my little sandwich shop / convenience store / bar the other day, and just even saying that sentence sounds like it's a make-believe thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was at that place.
What's the perfect place for Greg? It's a place that sells sandwiches,
candy and beer.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get a Powerball ticket? Let's go.
Are you Homer Simpson?
And so I'm there, and it dawned on me that Rick is the guy I talk to. I have a cousin named Rick. Scott is the guy that's there a lot of the times that loves kids but is not interested in me, like my brother. And then Courtney is my other brother's wife. And I'm like, three people all from my like pretty close circle world are represented here again. And I'm like, is the simulation running out of names that I'll accept? Or is it getting lazy? Or is it trying to let me know that I'm onto it? And then I'm like, you're being nuts. Just go eat mushrooms.
As somebody who's trying to name a human right now, or trying to come up with a name for a human right now.
Balthazar.
Yeah, Balthazar. That's it. Yeah.
That's literally the first thing that came from my head. I've never said that word in my life.
I actually was using ChatGPT to try to get some ideas yesterday, which is it's wild to think that an AI model could name my next child. But I was like putting in prompts like, what names go well with my son's name? Like what are names that sound familiar to this, that? I don't know. It was really, I was like tweaking the prompt and getting it closer. Like we actually started to get some names that we hadn't seen yet in kind of our searches. And like a lot of them were really cool. Stuff that we
actually like. I like doing the outside of the top 200. Like, give me a name that's not.
Well, that's where I'm like, it's not a simulation because people are just lazy and they look at the top 10 and they're like, yep, I like that. Like, we love the name Charlotte, but it's like number one in the number, you know, everybody. So, you know, in 10 years, my kid's name is Stone. And in 10 years when he's in elementary school, or 5 years when he was in elementary school. Right now, it seems unique, but in 5 years, how many stones are there going to be in a school? Like, probably more than there were.
No, it'll be barely. No way, no way.
But I went to school, like, with seven Brandons. You know what I mean?
I'm as a Greg, there was never, like, another Greg. It was, like, there was one Greg that I knew when I was a kid, but, like, there's not, you don't run into other Gregs ever or whatever.
Yeah.
So, But also, it's very Catholic. That's the other part of it. So Michael is my brother, and so there's like 75,000 Michaels or whatever. Yeah. So
it's my middle name.
Yeah, there you go. Old BMG over here. That's my favorite Thai place.
Do you know the reason I was named what I was named is because my mom wanted my initials when I was born. My last name was not my last name now, and she wanted my initials to be BMW. And so if I was a boy, I was going to be Brandon Michael, which I am, and if I was a girl, I was going to be Brandy Michelle. So thanks, Mom.
Your mom picking from the top 10 list, it sounds like.
Yep, exactly.
All right, well, I don't really want to do what we learned this week, because I don't know what I learned this week. Did you learn anything? What did
I learn this week? I learned some stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I learned that Brandon bad at video games.
Oh, awful. I knew that already, though. I learned that as much as I don't want to visit Jurassic Park, I would like to see Beethoven asexually reproduce.
Isn't that how Louis got canceled?
When you said Louis, I thought I heard Luigi. I was like, what happened in the Mario universe?
Oh, Mario. Gross.
Man, do they have kids? Not Mario. Like, do Mario and Luigi? Like, I'm surprised that that's never become, like, a part of, like, the Nintendo universe. Like, Mario having kids.
Well, I mean, the fact that he was friend-zoned by the princess, like, it was always like, no, she ain't home, bro.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, tell her I called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Luigi and Daisy was a thing, though, right? Like, that's...
Yeah, because, like, the dorkier one, like...
Is Wario Mario's, like, bastard son?
I hope so. I'm gonna win.
I'm gonna write some fanfic. Nerd talk, talking
about nerd talk, yeah! Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly whatever. Tuesdays, 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app, or of course, available for download from the Odyssey app or your podcast provider of choice. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please write us a review, leave us a what is it, 5 stars, yeah. Red review.
Yeah, 69 stars.
69 stars, or yeah. 420. 420, mushrooms.
I'm going to take my dogs to the vet.
I'm going to go pick up my kid after getting Taco Bell.
I'm always going to talk like this from now on.
By the way, if you haven't listened to the new song from Portugal the Man, I recommend everybody do it. It's called Dummy, and their drummer doesn't play any instruments other than drums, and so he had an idea for a bass line, and he went into the booth, and they mic'd him up, and he was like, yeah, so it goes like, da 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 da, and they just like were like, yeah, we're just using that.
It's great.
So they sampled it.
I really do like the song.
And it's amazing, so everyone should go listen to it. There's my musical plug for the week. Have a good day! Yeah. Bye, 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 bye.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Okay, one final thing before we go. It's, of course, AI related. I just realized that we need to do a segment that's like This Week in AI because it's every week. Levi's will soon start supplementing, this is what they say, supplementing their paid clothing models with ones generated by AI. And that feels incredibly inevitable.
They took our jibs!
It's also very sad. But the thing that gets me, and you can read about it, I think it's in Gadget.com, the thing that gets me is that they're framing it in the name of diversity. And they're like, with AI-generated models, a bigger range of people will be represented. And like, come on, dude. We're not stupid. Just tell us you're doing it to save money. Don't pretend like you can't find human. There are no good-looking whatever race. Like, there's only good, attractive, skinny whites and some browns. And that's all we're going to go with. Like,
we couldn't find an attractive Japanese model, so we're going to have the AI create one for us.
Now, if it is indeed that they're going after that, like, you know, four-legged, two-armed Geonosians from Attack of the Clones, or, you know, some sort of squid people with tentacle legs from a chasm filled with ice-cold water from deep down below. Okay,
this is like, what jeans would look like on Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, okay, I get it. That's great. And to your point, since I doubt they'll use models that actually look like, you know, most of us, which is, in my case, a little soft and obviously imperfect, this type of AI could be better served showing what the clothes would actually look like on my body. Like, if you're going to steal all my data anyway, like, help me understand what that shirt looks like on my weird chest.
That's,
you know, so that way, how
pretty,
it hangs down.
That's pretty great. So, like,
if it was Jar Jar Binks.
I started out with being pretty upset about this, but now that you're saying it, it does feel like the natural progression for online shopping. Where, you know, we went from like Warby Parker, right, was the online glasses retailer where you could go and say, here's the 5 glasses that I like, and they would ship them to you. You could try them on at home, see if you actually liked them, then ship them back.
Yeah.
And then that moved to like virtual try-on, where you could, it would use augmented reality and show you what the glasses would look like actually positioned on your face. And you could turn.
Yeah, just like TikTok or Instagram or whatever. With
the like a filter, right? And so you could look left, you could look right, kind of see how they looked from all these different angles. And now it could actually just be like, hey, we're going to take a quick scan of your face and put your dimensions or whatever it is, right? Like on Levi's, you could say like, I am a 5'10", 175 pound little boy. And when you enter that, that's how I feel. You enter that info in there and then it takes with your webcam, a little shot of your face. And then it shows you exactly what an outfit would look like on your specific body, not just like a body similar to yours, but your body, your actual body. Levi's is like, hey, I got to take a scan of your naked body. Show me what you look like under there.
Show me your dong.
Yeah. This is what these jeans would look like on your dong. Still tiny.
Don't worry. You can still wear the extremely tight ones.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it's just the notion that, and I think Amazon does this a little bit, but not to much success. But like, there's a tattoo artist that I follow, and he has you come in, and he gets out the 3D scanner like you would for your teeth to get braces or whatever, and he scans your body so that way he can put a tattoo on your body and adjust it and show you what it would look like.
That's so rad.
Because we're not flat, and so like if you're, you know, around an arm or whatever, around your shoulder, as where the shoulder joint is, that ball and socket, like it can show you how that would change the look of it. Or if you want something geometric, how it changes when you put it onto a not flat surface. And like, to me, that's a really cool future where maybe, and maybe like there's a Warby Parker store or whatever, you know, but maybe you end up going to the scan, you know, the scan mart or whatever, and you get your body scanned and then you go home and then you can shop online or whatever.
I think there will be a thing. I mean, you already see it with like the 360 camera things at people's weddings and events and things like that, where you go stand in the middle of it and it cycles the camera around you and it takes a really cool like little GIF video.
I think it'll be Sonic, actually. I think it'll be like sonar or something like that, so that's how they get these cameras to focus and stuff, is with a sound beam. And that's why my dog hates when I take her picture, but like, two dogs in a row that have been like so mad about that. But
that's really interesting,
it's weird, right? And so in order to get a really close without it having to have the same type of sensor quality in a camera or the adjustments, like you could really have like, I like this shirt, and they're like, yeah we'll send you the one that's custom made to your body.
Well, that's like the next level, right? Is like, not only this is how these jeans look on you, but this is exactly how we will alter them before they ever get to you, so that they fit exactly how you want them to. As long as you don't gain any weight or lose any weight, they will fit perfectly, right? Which is crazy, because like, instead of, I mean, we're still talking mass production, we're still talking unethical production, right? For the most part, I'm not talking specifically about Levi's, right?
Yeah, but of course
If you're like, this is the size of my feet, or this is blah blah blah, right? And then it'll say, okay, we will custom make those shoes. We still have to, because people have gotten used to it, so we'll still have to commit to 2-day shipping or whatever it is. And so we'll just have to rush how fast we make this person who's getting paid no money to make these shoes, right?
Well, it'll be a robot.
Well, yeah, eventually. That's like, ideally, really, at that point, unfortunately. But I was just thinking, maybe you won't even have to go anywhere. Like, think as virtual reality goggles and headsets get more and more popular, right? The way that works is you put up a camera or a couple of cameras, depending on how accurate you want them to be, up in the corners or on the walls of your room. And what those help you with is positional awareness and spatial awareness, and kind of give you an idea of the space around you. And it can actually position you in that room. Down the road, what if that can take think about the fact that you can already start measuring stuff from your phone, right? Like, you can open it up and like, using augmented reality, like start at this point, scan it over, look at this point, and that's how far it is, right? And it's usually pretty accurate.
I mean, close enough, better than I can do by measuring and drawing.
Like, I'm not going to use it to measure something that I'm, you know, I need to be perfectly the exact length that I need it. But if I'm like, will this 10-foot thing fit in this room, right?
Yeah. Does this rug fit here? Yes,
right, exactly. Yeah, it's like, as long as the margin of error is a few inches, right? Like, it gives me the what I need, you know. I mean, like, if virtual reality catches on, which I think it's still struggling to do, but like, if virtual reality becomes more of a cultural norm and we start to have these little cameras, or just any cameras, up inside of our houses in the future, like, Levi's might not even have to ask you how big you are, because it's going to be like, hey, we use your Google data to to tell you from your Google Home or your Amazon Alexa or whatever it might be. We know exactly how big you are, what style you're going to like. Let us send you a picture of you in an outfit that you've never worn and see if you like it, and you will.
It's the TikTok of social medias for clothing, where it's just like, this is what you're into. We've been paying attention and like, hey, check this shirt out. We think you're going to like it. And you're like, oh, I do kind of like
it. We also know how much money's in your bank account, so we know you can afford it. Buy it.
Yeah, it's... one final thought that is unrelated. I want to be very clear also with Levi's. I just think it's weak that from a PR perspective that you try and say it's for... diversity when it's obviously
I mean if
not.
They had just come like at it with this like personalization
I'd still be like gross
oriented,
but
I'd be like, oh, that's creepy, data privacy, whatever, but it makes sense,
but everyone's gonna do it, and so it's like, I don't like way to be the ones out in front or whatever, I guess. But the simulation thing, we're just saying, hear me out. Like, I'm more like, I feel like my life is falling apart around me, and it's just like feels eerie, and things happen around me where, you know, this is just very, it's very easy. This is how people get wrapped up in conspiracies. But like, as things happen and you meet people who like say the right things to entertain you or to make you frustrated or whatever, you're like, this is too conveniently hits the right buttons for me or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was at my little sandwich shop / convenience store / bar the other day, and just even saying that sentence sounds like it's a make-believe thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was at that place.
What's the perfect place for Greg? It's a place that sells sandwiches,
candy and beer.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get a Powerball ticket? Let's go.
Are you Homer Simpson?
And so I'm there, and it dawned on me that Rick is the guy I talk to. I have a cousin named Rick. Scott is the guy that's there a lot of the times that loves kids but is not interested in me, like my brother. And then Courtney is my other brother's wife. And I'm like, three people all from my like pretty close circle world are represented here again. And I'm like, is the simulation running out of names that I'll accept? Or is it getting lazy? Or is it trying to let me know that I'm onto it? And then I'm like, you're being nuts. Just go eat mushrooms.
As somebody who's trying to name a human right now, or trying to come up with a name for a human right now,
Balthazar.
Yeah, Balthazar. That's it. Yeah,
that's literally the first thing that came to mind. I've never said that word in my life.
I actually was using ChatGPT to try to get some ideas yesterday, which is it's wild to think that an AI model could name my next child. But I was like putting in prompts like, what names go well with my son's name? Like what. What are names that sound familiar to this, that? I don't know. It was really, I was like tweaking the prompt and getting it closer. Like, we actually started to get some names that we hadn't seen yet in kind of our searches. And like, a lot of them were really cool. It's stuff that we
actually
like.
I like doing the outside of the top 200. Like, give me a name that's not.
Well, that's where I'm like, it's not a simulation, because people are just lazy and they look at the top 10 and they're like, yep, I like that. Like, we love the name Charlotte, but it's like number one in the number, you know, everybody. So, you know, in 10 years, my kid's name is Stone. And in 10 years when he's in elementary school, or 5 years when he was in elementary school, right now it seems unique, but in 5 years, how many stones are there going to be in a school? Like, probably more than there were.
It'll be barely. No way. No way.
But I went to school like with 7 Brandons. You know what I mean?
I'm as a Greg, there was never like another Greg. It was like, there was one Greg that I knew when I was a kid, but like, there's not, you don't run into other Gregs ever or whatever.
Yeah.
So but also it's very Catholic. That's the other part of it. So Michael is my brother. And so, there's like 75,000 Michaels or whatever. Yeah. So
it's my middle name.
Yeah, there you go. Old BMG over here. That's my favorite Thai place.
Do you know the reason I was named what I was named is because my mom wanted my initials when I was born. My last name was not my last name now, and she wanted my initials to be BMW. And so if I was a boy, I was going to be Brandon Michael, which I am. And if I was a girl, I was going to be Brandy Michelle. So thanks, Mom.
Your mom picking from the top 10 list, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I don't really want to do what did we learn this week, because I don't know what I learned this week. Did you learn anything? What did
I
learn this week?
I learned some stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I learned that Brandon bad at video games.
Oh, awful. I knew that already, though. I learned that as much as I don't want to visit Jurassic Park, I would like to see Beethoven asexually reproduce.
Isn't that how Louis got canceled?
When you said Louis, I thought I heard Luigi. I was like, what happened to the Mario universe?
Oh, Mario. Gross.
Man, do they have kids? Not Mario. Like, do Mario and Luigi? Like, I'm surprised that that's never become, like, a part of, like, the Nintendo universe. Like, Mario having kids.
Well, I mean, the fact that he was friend-zoned by the princess, like, it was always like, no, she ain't home, bro.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, tell her I called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Luigi and Daisy was a thing, though, right? Like, that's...
Yeah, because, like, the dorkier one, like...
Is Wario Mario's, like, bastard son?
I hope so. I'm gonna win.
I'm gonna write some fanfic. Nerd talk,
talking about nerd talk, yeah! Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly whatever... Tuesdays, 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app, or, of course, available for download from the Odyssey app or your podcast provider of choice. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please write us a review. Leave us, five stars?
Yeah.
Write a review.
Yeah, 69 stars.
69 stars, or 420. 420. Mushrooms.
I'm going to take my dogs to the vet.
I'm going to go pick up my kid after getting Taco Bell.
I'm always going to talk like this from now on.
By the way, if you haven't listened to the new song from Portugal the Man, I recommend everybody do it. It's called Dummy, and their drummer doesn't play any instruments other than drums, and so he had an idea for a bass line, and he went into the booth, and they mic'd him up, and he was like, yeah, so it goes like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and they just like were like, yeah, we're just using that.
It's great.
They sampled it.
I really do like the song.
And it's amazing, so everyone should go listen to it. There's my musical plug for the week. Have a good day. Yeah. Bye, 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 bye,
bye.